that's a real joy to be back here on Magic 1560, another Lord's Day, another Sunday morning, to be able to go into the depths of the Word of God and to be able to preach the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the darling Son of God that went to the cross some 2,000 years ago, suffered and bled and died and shed His precious life's blood for whosoever will. For every individual that will have ever come into this world, past, present, and future, He died for the sins of the world, for the sin of all mankind. From Adam, the first man that was ever born, all the way down into the future to the last little baby that's to ever be born, Christ died on the cross of Calvary to save all in between from Adam until that last little baby that's to be born. But I would that you turn with us back to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. And I want to start reading in verse number 17. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 17. The Bible said, "And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Verse 18, he said, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Verse 22 says, But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. Father, we thank you again for another privilege, Lord, to pray. Thank you, Father, for the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And we thank you, Lord, for, Lord, helping us to be used for your name's honor and glory. We thank you, Father, for loving us enough to save us, Lord, and for giving us life eternal. We thank you, Father, for all the many blessings, Lord, and all the many times that you've come in. Lord, whenever we didn't think you'd ever come around, but Lord, you did. But Father, we thank you for loving us and for saving us. Thank you, Father, for giving us life eternal. Lord, I pray that you'd send the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Ask, dear Lord, that you'd send the liberty and the power and the authority. But most of all, I pray, O God, that, Lord, you'd do it again and send the conviction that's needful. I ask, Heavenly Father, that, Lord, you'd do it again and feed our hungry soul. If there be any fruit that's ripe, I ask, dear Lord, that you'd pick it today. Father, I pray, O God, Lord, Lord, that you'd just send an outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. And Father, may your will be done today in this service, in this lesson, and in this message today. Ask, Lord, that you'd boost up the power on this radio station. Lord, that it'll go out further than it normally will. Lord, that it'll go out 30, 40, 60, 100 fold and accomplish what you please today. Do it again, Lord. If you would, feed our hungry soul. Ask that you do it again, Lord, and send the conviction that's needful. I ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, again that you'd speak, Lord, thy servant's hearing. And if there be any fruit that's ripe, ask, dear Lord, that you would pick it today. For it's in Jesus' name we do try to pray and ask it. Amen and amen. Again, we're going to try to wrap up this lesson or this message or whatever you want to call it this morning on this very vital subject called repentance. Now, repentance is somewhat a curse word in the lives of a lot of people today. And the reason that repentance is seemingly a curse word in a lot of people's minds today is because if you look at repentance, it's really distasteful. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that a lot of people, when you talk about repentance, that it leaves a bad taste in their mouth and they don't like it. That's the good part about repentance. You're not supposed to like it. It's not supposed to make you feel good. It's not supposed to make you feel real happy, but it's supposed to do just the opposite. And the Bible said here in Luke chapter 15, in verse number 17, and when he came to himself. And as I told you last week, that simply means this: when he took a good look at himself. He didn't like what he saw. Not only did he take a good look at himself, but he looked down on the inside of his heart and he didn't like what he saw. He didn't like what was on the inside of his heart. There was many things there that were down inside his heart that was a hindrance to him, and he just didn't like what was there. And neighbor, the same thing has got to happen in your life. You've got to come to yourself and you've got to see yourself like you really are, and you're not supposed to like what you see. As I said last week, if you've taken a good look at your life and looked down inside your heart, and if you like what you see, and if you're happy with the life that you're living, then neighbor, you're in deep trouble. And you're in deep despair because, neighbor, in order for God to do something for you, in order for you to repent of your sins, that God can and will do something for you, you're going to have to be sickened. And not only be sickened, but you're going to have to be sorry for the life that you've been living. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 10, the Bible says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of, but sorrow of the world bringeth forth death. You know what that means when he said, for godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation? That simply means that you look deep inside your heart, and you don't like what you see, and you're disgusted, and you're sickened with what you see, and you don't like it. And because of that, you're sorry for what's down on the inside. And Paul said, for this godly sorrow, this sorrow because you looked down into your heart, and you saw the filth, and you saw all the stuff that the devil had zeroed in on you with, and you didn't like what you see. And you're sorry for that. You're sorry for the sins of your life. You're sorry for the things that are in your life. And immediately you turn from your sin and you must turn to God for help. You say, preacher, how do I turn from my sin and turn to God for help? Well, the Bible said here in verse number 18, this young man said, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. This man realized that he had wronged his father. This man realized that he had sinned against his father. Neighbor, when you come to the place to where that you realize that you have sinned against God and that you are a sinner and that you're sorry for the sins that you've committed and the life that you've lived, the life that you live, the Bible said, listen, the Bible said in 1 John 1, 8 and 9, the Bible said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You remember last week we told you about Titus chapter 3 and verse number 3, where Paul said that you are foolish, disobedient, and deceived. What did John say there? He said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You can say you have no sin, but John said, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, that you're deceiving yourself, and the truth is not in you. Neighbor, if you'll look inside your heart, you'll see that there's no truth in your heart. What's in your heart? Well, the Bible said in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Your heart is full of deceit, and it's a heart that's wicked. And neighbor, it's full of all the things that the devil has zeroed in you with and taught you all your life about the things that you should not do. And your heart, Jeremiah said, is deceitful above all things, and it's desperately wicked. But you've got to come to the place to where you realize that that heart of yours has deceived you, because it's a terribly wicked heart. I'm reminded of Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. In Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 14, the Bible said, two men went up unto the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican, just an old, dirty, rotten, low-down, sinning tax collector. That's all that he claimed to be. But he said, two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, a very religious man, and the other just a dirty, rotten, low-down sinner, if you please. Verse number 11, the Bible said, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He said, I fast twice in the week and give tithes of all that I possess. Verse number 13, the Bible said, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. But verse number 14, Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. Well, what did John say in there in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 8? John said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. This Pharisee had no truth in him. Why do I say he had no truth in him? Because he was full of deceit, and his heart was desperately wicked, and he didn't even know it. And he stood there in the temple, and he prayed thus within himself. He said, God, I thank you that I'm not as other men are. He said, I'm not an extortioner. He said, I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. He said, I'm not even like this old, dirty, rotten, low-down, sinning publican over here. He said, Lord, you know I do this and I do that, and that you know that I even fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. This publican never come to the place to where that he realized that he had a problem. He never looked in his heart. He never looked in his life. And if he did look in his heart, and if he did look in his life, he liked what he saw. Though his heart was desperately wicked, though he was deceived, but if he ever looked into his heart, he liked what he saw. And I said, neighbor, yes, last week and in the beginning of this message, if you look into your heart as a wicked, desperately sinning, deceived individual, and if you like what you see, then like that Pharisee, you're in deep trouble. Verse number 15, the Bible said, and the publican standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. You know what he done? He dropped his head. He bowed his head. You know why he bowed his head? This is because he was ashamed of the life that he lived. And he looked down in his heart and he saw the deceit in his heart and he saw that his heart was desperately wicked. And that desperately deceived, sinful heart began to ache and he began to hurt and he began to be sorrowful of the life that he lived. And the life that he was living as we're reading this story today and quoting these verses to you today. And the Bible said, and the publican standing afar off would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast. Why? Because he was having heart trouble. His heart was hurting because he was sorrowful. And his heart was hurting. And you know what he said? He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In essence, what that publican was saying is this, Lord, I've come to myself, as that young man did when he was in the hog pen in Luke chapter 15. This publican came to himself, and he saw himself like he really was, and he didn't like what he saw. And not only did he not like what he saw, but neighbor, he was sickened of the fact of the life that he lived. And not only was he sickened of the life that he lived, but neighbor, he was full of regret for all the things that he had done in his life. And I think about not only this publican, but I think about another, not only this tax collector, but I think of another tax collector that the Bible talks about in the book of Luke. And that tax collector was a little man by the name of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus came to the Lord and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And looking for Jesus, and as he sought to see Jesus, who he was, the Bible said, the Bible said here in Luke chapter 19 in verse number 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, verse number 7, the Bible said, and when he saw it, this they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood unto the Lord and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold. You know the reason Zacchaeus told the Lord Jesus here in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 8, he said, when he said, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold. That's because he looked down into his heart and he didn't like what he saw. And then after he said this to Jesus, Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. Neighbor, whenever you come to the place to where that you realize that you've wronged God and that you're a sinner and that you're living in a world of sin and that you've trampled the blood of Jesus Christ, the darling Son of God, underfoot, and like this publican, you say, have mercy unto me, O God. Have mercy unto me, oh, as he said here in Luke chapter number 18 and verse number 13, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And when you come to the place to where that you've looked down in your heart and you don't like what you see, and you have a regret of what you've done, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 10 become real in your life, when Paul said, for godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. Not to be repented of. That simply means that godly sorrow caused this man to repent of his sins that brought him to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he didn't have to regret that salvation. He didn't have to be sorry for that salvation. And friend, whenever you come to the place to where that you look down in your heart, realizing that you're a sinner, and that you're sickened, and you have regret, many, many, many regrets of the life that you've lived, and this sorrow brings you to repentance, it'll not only this repentance will bring you to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he ended that verse by saying, but sorrow of the world bringeth forth death. I'm not against giving invitations at a funeral. I'm for it. In fact, many funerals I preached at the end of the message, I've given an invitation. I've seen people born again at funerals. But preachers, you listen to me today, you better be very careful when you preach a funeral and you give an invitation. You better be careful when you walk into a funeral home and you begin to witness to the people who've lost a loved one. And their sorrow not because of the life that they live. Their sorrow not because of the sin that's in their heart and in their life. But many often is the time that they're sorry because they've lost that loved one. And you need to be able to explain that lost individual that he needs to make a difference between sorrow of the world and so godly sorrow because he sinned against Almighty God. But the Bible said in verse 18, he said, I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He realized that he was a sinner, and back to 1 John 1:8, he said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This young son realized he was a sinner. He was sorry for what he'd done. And he came to his father and he confessed his sins. And maybe that's what you got to do. You got to hate the life that you live. You got to regret the sins that are in your life. And you've got to turn from those sins. You know what that man did? You know what that young man did? He turned and he left that hog pen and he went back home to his father. And he came to his father and he said, I am no worthy, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You know what the father did? He didn't pay a bit of attention to what he said. Oh, yes he did. Let me take that back. He did pay attention to what he said. But you know what was in his mind and in his heart? The father had forgiveness in his heart. Because that young son was sorry and had regret. And he turned from his sins and he came back to the father. And he said, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Verse number 21, he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But you know what the father did? The Bible said in verse number 22, But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. You know what the father said? The father said, we need to clean him up. We need to make him different. We need to renew him. We need to make him what he ought to be and not what he is. And when you come to the place to where that you come to God and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight, and I'm not worthy to be called your son, but Lord, I would that you forgive me and clean me up and make a new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. But in Acts chapter 3 and verse number 19, here's what the Bible said. Dr. Luke said in Acts chapter 3 and verse number 19, or Peter, excuse me, even anyway, the Bible said in Acts chapter 3 and verse number 19, Dr. Luke's writing this down. But he said, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Verse number 20, he said, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. What did the writer say there in Acts 3:19? He said, repent therefore and be converted. That simply means to be changed. You know what that young son did? He repented and went back to the Father, and the Father cleaned him up. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You know what? Whenever you're dirty and nasty and stinking and you can't stand your own body odor, and you come to the place to where you get down in a good hot tub of soapy water, take a good hot shower or bath, you know how good you feel? The Bible said, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Neighbor, whenever you come by way of repentance and confessing your sins and turning away from God because you're tired and you're sick and you regret that which is in your heart, the Bible says when you do that, God will blot out your sins. Not only will God blot out your sins, but he says when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Listen, the Father cleaned him up. Neighbor, he made a new creature out of him again. You know what God will do? God will clean you up. Not only will God clean you up, but when the times of refreshing shall come, the Bible said he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you. And when God does that, friend, I tell you what, when God does that, he'll blot out your sins and he'll make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray that you'd speak to the heart of every listener today. Lord, may that individual look into their heart. May that individual, Lord, see their life like it really is. May they not only look at their life, but Lord, may they look into the very depths of their heart. And Lord, may they be sickened of the sin that's in their life. And Lord, by being sickened by this sin, may they turn from their sin and run back to Almighty God and say, Lord, I've sinned against you and against heaven, against you only have I sinned and done this sin in thy sight. And that you'd clean him up and make a new creature, blot out his sin and send the times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord in Jesus' name. We do try to pray and ask it. Amen and amen.